whining and pissing and moaning every week, but having to show up. You haven't had a vacation in 3 months. You're miserable. You hate it. And let's do a deal. I'll pay for everything. I'll send you a check. What do you think the guy said?
That doesn't make sense to me. I've never heard of business being done like that.
You're about to hear one of the absolutely best presentations I've ever heard on joint venture marketing. It's by a gentleman named John Alanis, and it comes from the Information Marketing Bootcamp by Ron LeGrand. I have a new service where if you have the rights to any marketing products and you have the marketing and duplication and distribution rights, you also have the rights to place any of the audio tape material up on a website to promote it. A gentleman named Bob Lee, who owns the reprint and duplication rights to the Information Marketing Bootcamp by Ron LeGrand, has contacted me to place this up on the website so he can promote this product. And that's what I've done. This is one part of one tape of the Information Marketing Bootcamp. If you're interested and like what you hear and want more information on the Information Marketing Bootcamp, please shoot me an email. Get ready, because this is probably one of the greatest presentations on joint venture marketing that I have ever heard. Away we go.
Let's move on to joint venture marketing. I'm going to be talking real fast during this presentation because I got a ton of information to give you guys. I call this presentation, How You Can Make Big Money as Easy as Answering Your Phone, Even If You're Dead Broke, Have No Experience, and Have No Resources Whatsoever. And I'm going to tell you guys a true story when I was worse than broke and actually made this work for me. So joint venture marketing is absolutely something that everyone should be doing. Okay, real quick, what is joint venture? What is a joint venture? Simply, a joint venture is a mutually beneficial arrangement between two people whose resources complement each other. What I mean by resources are like products, tested, proven ads, a sales letter, and most importantly, a customer list that they have a relationship with. Most of this presentation, I'm going to be teaching you how to search for people and find people that have already spent the money to build a big list of hungry customers that want to buy more stuff. Because if you guys take anything out of this info seminar, it's that a list of customers that you have a relationship with or someone else has a relationship with are very hungry to buy more things with. And nobody knows that. 99.997% of all business owners have no clue about that. They all think get new customers, and they neglect selling to existing customers. So that's one thing I want you guys to keep in mind when I'm going through this presentation. You want to find people that have lists of hungry customers. Burn that into your head, because that's the key to unlocking your joint venture success and how you can really make a lot of money very fast with no work whatsoever. Okay? And what I said is it's magic. You take two sets of existing resources, you combine them, and money comes out where there was no money before. Okay? So you can get tremendous time and tremendous leverage. Talk about what most people think a joint venture is real quick, is that a lot of people think it's this huge deal where you get two big businesses together and they sit down and talk and bring in all the lawyers and make a huge 28-pound contract and they go out to the media and announce that they did a joint venture. I've never been involved in a joint venture like that. I never want to be involved in a joint venture like that. All a joint venture is, all the joint ventures that I've ever been involved in basically involve this. Hey, you want to do a deal? You got some resources? I got some resources. Hey, we ought to get together. You want to do a deal? Everyone in here has done joint ventures. You guys probably did joint ventures last night. If somebody here has a rental car, somebody else has two tickets to get a free buffet, say, hey, you got a rental car? Hey, I got two tickets to get a free buffet. Want to do a deal? Hey, let's go. So all of you guys have done joint ventures. You guys do joint ventures all the time. Doing joint ventures in business with information marketing is exactly the same thing. You're just finding out what resources the other guy has, getting on the phone and talking to him and saying, hey, let's do a deal. Okay? So that's joint ventures are very, very simple. They may seem very intimidating at first, but they're not. Okay? Let's talk about real fast. Why should you do joint ventures? Why do you want to do joint ventures? It's already done. They've already done all the work for you, and you can leverage right in. If you have a sales letter, a tested proven sales letter, or a tested proven product that would go good to that guy's list, you don't have to spend 10 years building that. All you have to do is do a deal with him and plug it right in. Okay, so that's one of the major reasons why you guys want to do joint ventures. High net profit. Remember, what's Ron told you out here is that's the big $1 million secret to take away from is this idea of a list of customers that someone has a relationship with. And what that means is if a person has a relationship with that group of customers that they know and trust, that you don't have to spend near as much money to get them to buy. They know you. They've bought stuff from you. They want to buy more. So when you spend money on a mailer, you don't have to spend $10,000, $20,000. You can spend a little bit of money and get a huge response because they know and they've trusted you. And there are potential joint venture partners out there right now that have lists of people that you can just plug into and step into in 5 minutes or less. A few years ago, believe it or not, I was in the business of selling art. Long story about how I got into it, but basically I decided I didn't want to get a job. I didn't want to work for anybody. I hated working for someone, so I was going to go into business myself and see about making some money. So what did I decide to go into? I saw a lot of guys going out in the street to these art fairs, and they were making, they'd go out and sell $3,000 in a day. I said, that's great. I can make all this stuff and do the same thing too. So let me get into this business. So what I did was I went and bought basically a blowtorch and started creating artwork. And all this is, it's a sun. You know, it's about 20 inches by 20 inches, and you hang it on your wall. And I managed to go to all these different art shows, and I would sell this stuff in the street for about $100 a piece, and I did pretty good. The problem was, it's a lot of work. Now I was working 80 hours a week doing this, and one thing that I noticed was, I wasn't making as much money as I thought. Because you got to go to the art shows, you got to pay money to get in, you got to buy food, and credit cards getting a little higher. And I was like, man, I'm not making any money. My business is eating me alive. And it got to the point where I had to move out of my apartment. I couldn't afford to pay. I had to feed my business. So I said, well, I'm going to make this work. Do I get a job or do I make this business work? No, I'm not going to get a job. I can't work. I'm unemployable. So I'm going to go down and I'm just going to live in my business and you know, I'll turn it around in 3 months because I'm a smart guy and I'll make a lot of money. Yeah, okay. So what I did was I moved down about 15 miles out of Austin to a little town and moved into my warehouse. Had a warehouse and some office space. Yeah, I'm a single guy. No problem. I can live down here. Didn't have any hot water down there. Didn't have a shower. I can go to the gym. I can make this work. I just got to cut some expenses. Still not making any money. I said, this is crazy. How in the heck can I make some money? How can I find somebody who has a big list that I can sell my products to? And guys, I didn't know anything. I had no experience. I had no resources. I just had a product that I knew that people liked to buy. So I said, okay, who is somebody that can buy a lot of my stuff really, really fast? And I said, wait a second. I got all these goofy catalogs in the mail. I mean, there's catalogs of every shape and size that sell products of every weird thing you can imagine. And I found this one catalog, maybe you guys have heard of it, called the Sundance Catalog, found by a guy named Robert Redford. And I looked in there and I said, geez, these guys got a list of people who spend a lot of money on weird, funky, high-dollar stuff, and I got a weird, funky, high-dollar piece of art. Why don't I ask them if they want to do a deal? So, not knowing anything at all about how to approach catalog companies, not having a clue, you're not supposed to send them products, you're not supposed to call them on the phone, you're not supposed to bother them, I said, well, I got to get some money in here. I'm going to have to get a job. So, I only had enough money to send out one big box of stuff, so I got the name, just called up and said, hey, who's your buyer? Who do I send this stuff attention to? And so, you talk to this guy. Okay, I wrote down his name. Send him a big box of UPS stuff, just a bunch of sons like this. Didn't think I'd hear from him. Two weeks later, I get this call on my answering machine. Hi, this is so-and-so from Sundance Catalog. We got your son. We think it's neat. Would you be able to send me some samples? No problem. Let me send you guys some samples. And when I sent this box up, there was no fancy letter, no nothing. Basically, it said, it was a one-page letter that said, hey, I got this really neat son that sells to a lot of people like your customers. You'll want to do a deal. Okay, so 2 weeks later, I get this phone call. It says, hey, we want to do a deal. Sent the samples up, and they call up and say, yeah, we really want to do a deal. And we're going to pay you $38.50 for each piece of art, and we're going to pay for the shipping, and all you have to do is get it up to us. I said, okay, that sounds pretty good. Oh, by the way, how many catalogs are you guys going to be mailing? You mean this quarter, they said? I said, yeah, okay. So they said, we mail 4 to 6 times a year, about 2 million catalogs a year, 2 million catalogs a quarter. 2 million? Did you say 2 million? 2 million! So I went from being out selling my art in the street to being in front of 2 million people like that like that because I did a joint venture. Let me show you guys something incredibly exciting about dealing with catalog companies. There is nothing more exciting than doing a joint venture with someone who has a big, hungry list. Let me show you some of this stuff I got. This is a purchase order I got from Sundance Catalog Company. $19,250 worth of signs on that one. Here's another one. $30,800 worth. And I'm a guy with no money, no resources, sitting in a warehouse. I didn't have a shower. And I'm getting purchase orders coming on my fax machine. These all came over in one day. Here's another one right here. $26,950. In one day, I got purchase orders for $70,000 worth of stuff. $70,000. Over a year and a half's time, I started getting checks from these people. Checks. Amounts like $7,700. $4,620. These are coming to a guy in a warehouse running out every day to the mailbox. And the check's got to be here. It's got to be here. Looking in the mailbox and finding stuff like $8,662. $3,850. It's just filling my mailbox. $6,737. $9,625. Every month, every 2 weeks, I'm starting to get checks from these people. The purchase orders are piling in. They're mailing more and more and more, and I'm not paying anything except to get this stuff made. Now, some of you guys may have talked to me. I'm a pretty lazy guy. I'm a real lazy guy. I don't like to work. Here's even more of the checks they sent over and over and over. Want to see what these checks look like? There's nothing. I want you guys to just imagine yourself right now going to your mailbox and looking in. It's a little envelope, a little window envelope that says Sundance on it. And you go there and you look, oh, there's a check inside. How much is this one going to be for right now? There's one for $26.74, small one. And I kept this one. I got this one on my wall. This is the one for $30,800. Walking to your mailbox and opening it and knowing there's a check for $30,800 inside. Most of that you get to keep. Because I'm going to tell you something about joint ventures. You think I did any of this work myself? Nah. I looked in the yellow pages and said, there's got to be a metal fabrication company that can do this stuff for me. They got computers that can cut this out. So I found one. So, hey, can you guys cut out some art for me? Yeah, sure, no problem. I want a good deal on it, though, guys, because I'm going to be buying a lot from you. So they made it for much, 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 much less than 30. I never told them how much I was getting paid for it. I mean, we're talking dollars here. Low dollars they made the stuff for. You think I packed this stuff and shipped it? No. I looked in the yellow pages. Is there a place for shipping? Yeah, Goodwill Industries. Goodwill Industries will ship it. They warehoused it for free, use of the forklift for free, and they packed this stuff up for like, a dollar some odd a sun. The big boxes going out, the truck. I never even saw this stuff go out. All I did was sat back and run to my mailbox and look for checks of $30,800. And I was broke by myself, no resources, no money, no experience, and I wound up making over $200,000 in a year and a half time, most of which was net. And I also started getting customers from this as well for free because I put something in the sun. And when the customer got the package, said, hey, you got to activate your warranty, call for a 24-hour free recorded message, and you get a free certificate signed by the artist. People like things signed by the artist. So I sent them out their free certificate, which, oh, by the way, a catalog of mine happened to go out to, of which I had deals that went up to $4,000 or $5,000, and I would get even more money from that. And, they liked my product. There were a hungry list of customers. They wanted to buy more. Okay? That's what Sundance customers was like. I leveraged my way into 2 million catalogs a quarter that were going to hungry people that wanted to buy weird, wild, funky stuff. And I had the stuff to sell to them. All I had was a product. Now, in the information business, I've done a lot more of these deals, and they're much easier to do because you're not dealing with a hard product. You're dealing with information that you can call up a printer and have printed like that. Sales letters, different types of resources. So you guys can understand why you want to do joint ventures. Okay? You understand that, correct? Good. Okay. So the next question is, and I'm going to start moving quick, guys, because I got a lot of information to tell you here. A lot of information. Okay. Where to find joint venture partners? Okay. First off, rule about joint ventures. You want to do joint ventures with people, not businesses. That's not always true. I did a joint venture with Sundance. Sundance is a big business, but they're used to dealing with small business people. They understand small business people. Okay? You want to do joint ventures with people. And the reason you want to do joint ventures with people is because they're like you. They get this concept of, oh my God, I like to make money. Big businesses don't always like to make money. I don't know what they want to do, but they want to send you through all these hoops. Forget that. You want to do, look around the room. You want to do joint ventures with people much like yourselves who desire to make money. Okay, so keep that in mind. So, where do you find these people? First place to find them. Very good place. Your own customer list. Some of you may not have customer lists, okay? But your own customer list is a great place to find them. Why? Because they're people that have given you money for your products. They're like you. They have a relationship with you. They know that you deliver good stuff, and they've given you money, and they look to you as somewhat of a guru. So that then you're in a position where you can control how the deal works. And as you get more of a customer list and mail to it more and more often, I'm sure Ron can attest to this, you get joint venture proposals every day. And you get a stack of them. We get joint venture proposals from people that want to do deals with us all the time. Most of them, we throw them in the trash. But every now and then, we'll get someone that calls up and we start talking to them on the phone and say, hey, we want to do a deal with you. We're going to be running an infomercial. And, you know, we're a customer of yours. We bought your stuff. We really like it. We're running an infomercial. We need stuff to send in bulk so we can bulk up our product. You guys have a product? Sure, no problem. How many do you want to buy? Because they're one of our customers, okay? And also, too, I was talking to them on the phone. Oh, by the way, you're a customer of ours. You understand our business. How many customers do you have? We got about 35,000. Want to do another deal? You know? So your customer list. Your customer list is the first place to work. Another place, let's say you don't have a customer list. And this is a secret. This is a big, big secret. We've talked about niche publications and trade magazines. Look at the ads in there. You see, what happens is, in these niche publications, is that there are a lot of people that sell continuously to the people in there. Let's take the Art Gallery and Frame Shop niche, for example. Okay? There's an ad right here. Herbert Arnott. He's in a magazine called Decor on the back. What he does is he sells prints. He sells prints to art galleries. So what he has is he has a list of art galleries that have given him money and that buy from him every month. Do you think that if you had a product to sell to art galleries and tell them how to make money, that you could do a deal with this guy and say, hey, let's mail my letter to your list? Sure. And how do you know he exists? Because he's running ads in there over and over and over. Also, he's a small businessman because he sells to small businesses. Here's some more ads in the same magazine. Here's another guy, H. Hargrove, selling stuff to art galleries, selling stuff to small businesses. Look, there's a bag company here. They sell bags to businesses. But they're selling to them and they're contacting them every single month so they have a relationship. Let me show you something else to look for. This came from the same magazine. You see an ad like this? This is a direct response ad. It has a headline. It has copy. And the guy's selling information. He's selling a CD-ROM. Now, I bet you one thing this guy does is he also sells updates to his CD-ROM. So every month or every quarter, they give him more money for the CD-ROM. So you have a case of a guy who has a list, who has a relationship with his list, and who they're used to sending him money. So if you take your deal and go through him to his list, they know and they trust him, so you can immediately jump into that list. How big is his list? I don't know. I'll teach you how to find that out in a little bit just by asking some questions. But what you need to know is that it took him years to build that list. Years. How long does it take you to use it? 5 minutes. Phone call. The key is, and this is the whole main point you should take out of this, they've spent the money to build a relationship with a lot of people. You spend no money. You just step in and make money. And I'll tell you a little secret about these guys. None of them have any clue about information marketing, about direct response marketing, about the value of their customer list. You know that. You have the key that unlocks that list. Most of these guys are making very small margins selling to these people because they believe nobody will pay $1,000. Nobody will pay $3,000 for a product. We know different. They'll pay a lot of money for that. And you can teach these guys how to do that. Okay.
You can, and while you're at it, you're going to find some along the way. Once you get a good quality education, you can probably jump in and take a piece of the action and do their marketing for them, and maybe even a piece of the company.
Yep.
By straightening out their marketing, and you wouldn't be the first to have done that. In fact, that's what Ted Nicholas is doing quite a bit of right now. You take a piece of the company to straighten out their marketing for them. Mm-hmm. And is it a good deal for both? Oh, you bet. Because without him, they wouldn't have. You know, the company wouldn't be there. It's not going
to
grow.
Yeah, these guys are just getting to the point where you take some of this marketing to them, they're getting checks for doing no work whatsoever. They're just in hog heaven, and they're happy to do joint ventures with you because they've never heard of this before, never heard of this money.
Maybe we better explain that a little bit further. Let's suppose I'm joint venturing with you. It's your list. I come to you. I say, John, I want to do a joint venture. All you have to do is okay the bottom of my letter. I'll write it for you. I'll write the sales piece. I'll do the mailing. I'll pay the postage. I'll do all the work, and I'll give you a piece of whatever sales we make based on your endorsement and using your list.
Mm-hmm.
You do nothing. You can't possibly lose. If we win, we both win. If we lose, I lose only.
It's free money with no risk. I'll show you a letter a little later on in the presentation that we use to send out to these people. We call it a free money letter. But it's a very powerful proposition. And once you do one deal with these guys, why stop at one? We have guys we do ongoing deals with because they like us so much. When you send a guy a check for $26,000 and he didn't do any work, he likes you because that's net you're sending him. It goes in right into his bank account. He spent no money to generate that. Okay? Very powerful. Another place to look real fast, directories, the SRDS, the Standard Rate and Data Service. All it is a big book of mailing lists. Go to the library and ask the librarian, hey, I want the big book of mailing lists. Take me to that. So take you right to it. Open it up. And what you see is you see people that have mail. So you know that they have a mailing list of 80,000 names, 100,000 names, and that you can do a deal with those people. So one thing you need to know about these guys, they're hit up for joint ventures all the time.
SRDS.com.
Yeah. Great place to look. Another place, Oxbridge Directory of Newsletters. Just go to the library and say, hey, take me to the big book of newsletters. And they'll take you to the big book of newsletters. MediaFinder.com is a place you can look that up. Newsletter publishers are great people to joint venture with. Why? Because they have monthly contact with their customers. Most of them have a little understanding of the information business, but they don't even understand this concept of putting a ride-along in there that asks for more money, like Ron was talking about Paul Hartunian doing with his newsletter. So you can do a deal with them like that. There's no postage paying. Heck, these guys don't know. You're telling them how to unlock their customer list.
You can just slow down here just a minute because we'll make sure they grasp this. You could literally build a multi-million-dollar company by simply going into SRDS or Oxbridge or any place else that has a list of lists, and that's all they are, is a list of lists, finding somebody who has a magazine or a newsletter on a subject pertaining or similar to whatever it is you're selling. If you're selling a book on how to grow roses to be twice their size in half the time, yada, 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 go to somebody who has a gardening magazine or a gardening list and simply do the joint venture. It's that easy. So now the question is who do I joint venture with and how many of them do I get to respond? And he's going to tell you how to do that in just a second. So it really becomes an easy way to market because I'll tell you, you guys just can't know this. But the results you're going to get from a joint venture endorsed mailing are going to be bigger than any other kind of mailing you do.
We've had times where we spent maybe $4,000 on a mailing and gotten over $100,000 back because the relationship with the customer is that strong. And there's absolutely no way if we went and rented those lists without going through our joint venture partner, riding on the relationship, we would have spent $4,000 and probably...
I want to thank you for listening. This is Michael Sinoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. If you want to get in touch with any of the people we interviewed, please email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. That's michael@hardtofindseminars.com. H-A-R-D as in dog, T-O-F-I-N-D, S-E-M-I-N-A-R-S.
If you're a joint venture partner, riding on a relationship, we would have spent $4,000 and probably lost $4,000. But because of that relationship, that's the whole key to this, is the relationship that they've spent the money to build that you can step right into and make money with. That's what unlocks the key to your wealth and to their wealth. Okay? Two resources, combine them, money results. Another place to look real quick, local directories, yellow pages, just lists of businesses that might have a list that would be responsive to an offer like yours. Another place, trade shows. Trade shows, a little more work. You can go to the library, find the annual trade show directory. You can go up to people, shake their hand, meet them, say, hey, you got this, I got that, I want to do a deal. Real quick, I'll give you a trade association, NAPL example, National Association of Printers and Lithographers, Michael Kimball, just faxed him a joint venture proposal, said, hey, you want to do a deal? The deal he got out of them, I don't know how Michael got this deal, but he got this deal. They paid for all the mailing to their list. They paid for all the mailing, all the printing, and they sent Michael a check 55% of the gross, and all he had to do was fulfill the product. So he was getting paid to get new customers. And all his cost was just the cost of the product. And they would do a mailing like this four or five times a year and send him a check. How they agreed to this, I don't know. But they did.
That's a heck of a deal. A heck of a deal.
Yeah.
For Mike.
Yeah, very, very good deal. Another place, seminars. Like, look around. There's people here. When I went to Dan Kitty's last seminar, I wish I had more time to pay attention because we were so busy doing deals with people. When somebody pays $2,000 to come to a seminar, it's not like someone paying $27 to go to a Chamber of Commerce meeting and say, hey, you need an insurance agent, here's my business card. When someone pays $2,000 to go to a big high-priced seminar, you get some players. You get some people that are serious about making money. And you start talking to people and asking questions, you find out all of a sudden they may have a big list that you can use. So what do? You're talking to them. They like to make money. They're like you because they've paid money to get this. Hey, want to do a deal? Done lots of deals at information marketing seminars just by sitting down and talking to people. And you get to know them face-to-face and meet them. And there's a big screen. You don't get a lot of wannabes. You get a lot of real players in there. So seminars are a great place to go. Another place, like I said, catalogs. Again, the Oxbridge Directory has a list of catalogs. And here's the secret, like I've been telling you, most potential joint venture partners have no clue about marketing and the value of their customer list. You here have this knowledge. You now have the key to unlock that knowledge and make both you and them a lot of money fast. Okay, moving right along here. So let's talk about how to approach joint venture partners. How to approach them. Like Ron said, he gave you the perfect way to do it. Free money. Just offer. You do all the work and send them a check. Don't try and educate them about information marketing. They're not going to know it. They're not going to understand it. Everyone here understands this concept of you do no work and you don't get a check, right? I mean, this is a very simple concept here. It's a concept we like. Okay? How do you do that? Let me show you the letter we send out right quick that we call our free money letter. If you look, it's just a letter from us to them. We overnight this letter. Dear Mr. Snuffy, dear Joe, free money. That's what it says on top. Free money. And basically what it tells them is, how are we going to give them free money? Now, something very, very important down here, all the letter does is explains it. We'll do all the work and we'll send you a check. That's everything it says. Right down here, though, look at these PSs. These PSs are very, very important because what they have are testimonials. Testimonials from people that we've done joint ventures with in the past. And what that does is it says, this guy's for real, number one. And number two, they sent us money and the check cleared. A lot of people do joint ventures are idiots. They won't pay their joint venture partners. There's people out there that have been scorched before, and when they look and see that, oh, this guy pays, and he pays up, and he pays a lot of money, they're going to want to do a deal with you. If you don't have testimonials, don't worry about it. We started off before we had testimonials with the free money letter.
I'll tell you what you're going to have to do if you don't have testimonials. You're going to have to simply say, listen, well, if that bothers you, then you take the money and pay me. A lot of times they won't. They just want to know that you're willing to let them do that.
Yeah.
That overcomes credibility. They don't want to mess with it.
That's a great point, Ron. The deal we make them is we say, hey, we'll take the money, but we'll route it through your office. So the orders come to you. You take the orders. You send it to us. We charge your credit cards. And most people say, oh, okay, well, we'd really rather have you do it because that's work. And
don't forget what he just said, though. Don't let them take the orders and hope you get the names. You've got to take the order and fax it to them or email it to them and let them process it. Then you know you've got the order.
Unless it's a big company like Sundance or something like that, and okay, $200,000 in a year and a half, most of which is done, I'll take the risk.
Yeah, but that don't matter because you did the shipping, so you had the customer's name anyway, right?
Oh, I shipped it to them.
Oh, you shipped it to Sundance.
Right, I shipped it to them.
Oh, so the only way you could get the customer's name was put something in the box to have them come back to you.
Yeah.
I heard that works.
Yeah.
Did Robert Allen tell you about multiple streams of income, how many times his name's in the book? He didn't tell you that yesterday? He's got his name and he's got his phone number in that book 40 times.
Yeah.
40 times.
Yeah. And, you know, I was basically getting paid to get customers from. That's a very, very powerful thing. Customers that already had a relationship with Sundance now had a relationship with me. Okay? And I wound up taking a lot of money out of a very small list just asking to buy new art every month. It's this relationship marketing thing. This is the whole key that makes this whole business work, relationship marketing. We need to talk about real quick is, what do you say? Let's say you decide you want to do a joint venture, because we all know joint ventures are good things to do. You found some people you think you want to do joint ventures with. You send your free money letter, and they call you. What do you say to them on the phone? This is some million-dollar information, because what you say to them on the phone to screen them can save you a lot of time, agony, and grief later on, and can also build some very profitable long-term relationships. Okay, first question that you want to ask is, when you get them on the phone, is what type of business are you in? Why? You know what type of business they're in. Who cares what type of business they're in? You want them to start talking. That's what I like to talk about, their business. What type of business are you in? Oh, I'm in the printing business. Really? How fascinating. I've never heard of a business like that before. How did you get into this business? You're building rapport with them. Well, my grandpappy started back in 1953. Who cares about that? What you're doing is you're getting them to start talking and opening up about their business, and they will begin to reveal key details. You're conditioning them to talk about their business because you have some questions that you want to ask them about their business, okay? First question is this. After you've talked about this, how many customers do you have? Very, very important. If they have three customers, you probably don't want to deal with them. And the question that you want to ask is, do you have the names and addresses of your customers? If they say no, bye. Forget it. If they say yes, okay, go on to the next question. How often do they buy from you? They buy once every 5 years? Probably not a very good prospect to test. If they say, yeah, we have people, like in these niche publications, that buy from us once a month, they send us big dollars because they're buying products from us on an ongoing basis, and we have 1,200 names. You don't need a big list on some of these guys to make a lot of money. We have 1,200 names. We have 2,000 customers. How often do they buy from you? The next question, how much money do they usually spend with you? If they spend $5 every time, probably not very good. If they're used to spending, if they're conditioned to spending $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month to buy products to resell, they're used to spending money with this company. Very good, very powerful. So what you want, your ideal, a sane small business person with a big list they contact often but under market to. Let me explain a few things here. What I mean by sane is this: sane in that they want to make money. Okay? A lot of business people don't want to make money. I don't understand it. They don't want to make money. They're in business for ego reasons. They're in business to employ people. They don't want to make money. I'll tell you a very quick story. There was a guy in an art gallery I used to sell art to. Now, he bought on a wholesale retail basis. He bought my art, sold a lot of stuff. So I went in and asked him one day when I was a lot smarter about this business, hey, you keep the names and addresses of your customers? Well, yeah. How many you got? We got about 10,000. Really? Want to do a deal? I don't know. And I said, look, I'll do all the work, pay for you, send you a check. You're in retail. You're whining, pissing, and moaning every week, but having to show up. You haven't had a vacation in 3 months. You're miserable. You hate it. And let's do a deal. I'll pay for everything. I'll send you a check. What do you think the guy said?
That doesn't make sense to me. I've never heard of business being done like that.
Free money.
I don't know.
Get out of here. Go away. There's plenty of other joint venture partners out there. But you'll run into that. You will run into that. Be prepared. What's the word you say when you get them on a phone like that? Bye. Next. Forget it. You don't want to deal with people like that. It's self-sorting. But they're out there.
Now, believe it or not, John has never been to one of my real estate boot camps. Where we talk about pre-screening quickly.
Next. Get rid of them. Plenty of other profitable joint venture partners out there. Okay, let's say that that you got someone on the phone. They're good. You want to do a deal with them. Okay, types of joint ventures. Here's the rule. Come back to what I said in the beginning. Make sure both parties benefit from the deal so you can continue to do deals in the future. That's very important. You think of a joint venture partner like a customer. All it is another type of customer list, but it's a joint venture partners. They have a long back end too. You don't want to do one deal with them. You want to do lots of deals with them. It's just like selling products over and over and over, except they're much higher dollar. We have people that we do deals with all the time. We just call them up and say, hey, we've done a deal before. We want to do a deal again. Oh, yeah, we like that check we sent you. Oh, yeah. Let's do a deal. Remember, both parties have to benefit. That's very important. You get these idiots that won't pay up from someone, they're stupid. Because they may think they're saving $20,000, but they're cutting their throats for another extra $250,000 in the future. You always want to make sure the other person mutually benefits. That's the one rule. Other than that, the types of deals are limited by your creativity. Okay, that being said, let's give you some similar types of deals. Ron alluded to one, an endorsed mailing earlier. Very powerful. If you were to send your sales letter, if you found someone with a list, you had a tested, proven sales letter, and I'll tell you how to get the rights to a sales letter at the end of this presentation. You have a tested, proven sales letter, and you send it to their list. You want to send an endorsement on their letterhead in their envelope to them so that they know it came from your joint venture partner. Here's the secret. You write the endorsement letter. They sign it. Money with no work. And all the endorsement letter says is, hey, my name's Joe. You bought some stuff from me in the past. You've been very happy. I got this friend of mine named John. He's got this great product. I thought you guys would really like it. So here's the sales letter. Have a look at it. That's all it has to say. That's all it says. As long as they know that it came from him and that you're getting the guy's endorsement. Very powerful.
John, let's repeat that because that's very important. The only purpose of that cover letter is to get your customer to read the sales letter. That's the only purpose of that endorsement. Well, that's two. Credibility and to get them to read the sales letter. So don't try to sell anything in that letter, especially when it's an endorsement from somebody else.
It activates the relationship. If you got a letter from someone, but it had Ron LeGrand had written a letter, an endorsement letter, you're more than likely going to read that because you know Ron, you have a relationship with Ron, you know that Ron's not going to send you crap.
You don't read anything I send anymore.
So he's not a guy to do a joint venture with. No. If I get something that has an endorsement from Dan Kennedy, you better believe I'm going to read that and probably buy it, because I know that Dan is going to send me something, only endorse people that are good. Because their relationship with their customers is on the line. And if you turn around and take someone's product and you have a customer list and you do a deal with them, you better make darn sure that you're delivering a very good product. We've had times in the past where we've done a deal with someone, we didn't check out as good as we should have. We had a lot of returns coming back because the guy wasn't delivering what he was promising. So your credibility is on the line with your customers, and their credibility is on the line too. Okay? Mutually beneficial. Very quick, another type is a list swap. And that's where you have a bunch of names, he has a bunch of names, you trade names, and there's no compensation on either side. By the way, in an endorsed mailing, real quick, usually the deal that we make with people is we'll do all the work, we'll send out everything to your list, you give us 2,000 names, we'll pay you 20% of the gross. We send you a check for nothing, we know our numbers in there, so we're paying them a commission on an endorsed mailing. On a list swap, you just trade names and you both keep all the money. Very simple. Wholesale retail, the deal I had with Sundance. I made products at a price, they paid me, and then they resold them. Very easy joint venture. Royalty arrangement. A royalty arrangement is like an author and a publisher. You may create a product for somebody. You may have the means to create a product or own the rights to a product, but you don't have a sales letter. Well, you let them use the product, print it, and they send you a check every month for a percentage of the gross that they sell. Okay? Royalty arrangement. That's another way to work it. That's not the preferred way we do it, because you have to rely on somebody else to send you the money. But you can also turn around and do that deal with someone else. If you have a product you want created, but you don't want to spend time to do it, say, hey, I'll make a royalty arrangement with you. I'll pay you a percentage every time we sell one of them. So it's a very fast way to get products.
Yeah, that's exactly what Ted Siuba did to me. Not to me. With me.
With you.
Yeah. He sold my courses. He sold my courses at his expense and sent us a commission on every time he made it. So he didn't create anything except a sales letter.
Right.
Am I right?
Right. Just another type of arrangement that you can do. Royalty arrangements. Another type is a consulting arrangement. I'm not going to spend too much time with consulting arrangements. That can be a whole other big seminar, but just let me tell you a few things. I have a consulting arrangement with Michael Kimball, and we also at Group M Marketing have consulting arrangements with several other different marketing gurus. We pay them a retainer each month, and plus they get a percentage of the sales that their knowledge generates. Okay, very simple. So what we have is we can tap into their brains anytime they want by calling us up. You can make the same deal with another company as a consultant. You're on retainer. You get paid as a percentage of the sales. Again, a problem that can come up with that is you getting paid when you're supposed to. Okay, you're not taking the money on that. But it's something to keep in mind as you go along and get more experience and get a track record. You may want to enter into a consulting relationship with a joint venture partner. Also, like Ron said, you might get to the point where you can actually rebuild and redo someone's marketing for them and get a piece of their company. That's done on a consulting relationship. Okay? So as long as you're in the position that where you know you're getting the money, a consulting relationship. And people understand a consulting relationship too. They know what a consultant is. They understand that. Okay? Right quick, another very powerful type of joint venture is a package insert. Like if you approach a newsletter publisher, say, hey, we're just going to send my tested proven flyer out along. It comes right to me, and I send you the money. We both avoid postage. It's riding along. That can be very powerful if you get someone in a niche market who is sending products out to be resold every single month. Say, hey, let's just put my sales letter right along with it, with your endorsement letter, in the package, okay? That way, nobody has to pay for any postage. And like we talked about yesterday, they get the package, they know they just bought something, they're happy, they open it, they gross split with them, not net. If you negotiate a net deal, I guarantee you any accountant in the world, no matter how much money comes in, can make the net all go away. The gross deal is very, very simple. The only thing I say up here is make sure that you know your numbers. Remember, if you're giving away 5% of the gross, depending on the product, you could be giving away half, 60, 70% of the net. Know your numbers before you do it. Very important, but make it a percentage of gross. Very easy to track as well. Number three, do all the work yourself. Do all the work yourself. Don't trust the other party. There's a lot of guys out there that mean well. They mean to do the work they said that they do, but they get busy. They decide to go to Vegas or go off somewhere and have some fun, and they don't do the work. They get involved in other deals. Do all the work. We always do all the other work, me and Michael, when we do a deal, because we know our printers, we know our sales agent, we know that we're going to get that out. So we just do all the work. Do the work. If you don't have any money, or not at all, what you can do, what I've done in the past is when I didn't have any money, so send me 2,000, I'll do all the work. I mailed 100 letters. 100 letters. I didn't tell him. I just mailed 100 letters. I got the money in. I took that money, mailed 300 letters. Then I mailed more until I mailed it and said, hey, We did great on this. Here's some money. Let's do more names. So if you don't have any money, you don't have to mail all the letters. I mean, you can literally mail 100 or 200 letters. It's not as statistically viable as if you mail them all. But if you don't have any resources, you can afford to mail 100 letters, and you're probably going to get some response because you're writing on a relationship. Do all the work yourself. Very important. Most joint ventures fail because the other person didn't do the work that they were supposed to. Shortcut that in the beginning. Do all the work yourself. Number four, get it in writing yourself. And what I mean is there's books of agreements out there that you can go find a book, look it up, say, hey, this agreement is very similar to the deal we're going to do. Change up a few things. Make sure it's in English. Don't call it a contract. Call it an agreement or an understanding. And all it does is it lays out the deals. A lot of the times, we just sit down and write something up. Say, hey, you send us 2,000 names. We're going to mail this. We're going to do that. There's none of this. It's very plain. Is it a bad idea to have a lawyer review it? No, but don't get them involved in negotiation. Say something, Ron?
There's a sample of that kind of an agreement in the book as well. Just a letter agreement.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a letter of agreement. It just says, hey, you're going to do this, I'm going to do that. Keep it simple, keep it plain. A sixth grader can understand it. If you get in all that legalese, they're going to get intimidated, they're going to want to get their lawyers involved, and the only person going to make money is a lawyer.
That's absolutely true. Let me give you an absolute recent case study on that. I was attempting to do a joint venture with a couple of fellas out in California. They sent me an... I have to sign this. I'm not even interested. And then when I didn't, we didn't do a deal.
Yep.
And they got the worst end of it, too, because it would have been a great deal for them. But they said, if we don't get that signed, we can't do it. I said, we can't do it. Next.
Yep.
Well, I guess what still all this amounts to is who's in control here?
You've
heard that before, John.
Yep. But it's absolutely true. If you find someone that wants to send you a big, thick agreement like that, unless it's a standard agreement like on a catalog contract that they send to everyone, that's a little bit different because you can look in and see that all the vendors have done it. They've paid their vendors. They haven't had any problems. But if you're dealing with an individual, someone like Ron's telling you about, and you get a contract like that, beware. Beware. Because you and I both know that you can put something in writing, I'm going to do this, you're going to do that, we can agree, right? There's no other place to disagree. It's very, very simple. Keep it simple. And a lot of times, if you have an agreement, maybe you guys say, well, we don't know exactly what's going on. Let's go back to the agreement and see what we agree to. So there are no hard feelings. When you get it in writing, you know exactly what everyone's supposed to do.
Do a small deal first. See how it works out. And then you can decide whether you want to do more.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I'm going to talk right about that in just a second, Ron. But Ron brings up a very, very, very good point. Do a small deal first. Actually, two things. Two more things. There's an easy exit clause. Both parties can end the deal at any time. Just put it in there. You know, end it in writing within 30 days. You don't want to be joint ventures with someone and all of a sudden you decide you hate their guts, you don't like them, they smell bad or something like that. You just want to be able to get out. So just put it in there. Number six, and this is very important. This is very, very important. Always leave open the possibility for renegotiation. And say that going in. The reason is a lot of times you don't know what the numbers are going to be. You have no idea what the numbers are going to be. So you say, hey, let's do a trial deal. We're going to do a 3-month deal. We're going to see what the numbers are. I'm going to pay you this. And then we'll sit down and look. If he's not getting enough money, and you're getting too much, give him some more money. If he's getting too much money, say he's getting 70% of the net, and you made a deal on gross, say, hey, we got to renegotiate. I'm not getting enough money. This isn't mutually beneficial. So you can sit down and renegotiate. A lot of times you just say, hey, this is working out great. Let's keep doing it the way it is. And then you can do a longer deal. Always be flexible. Always leave up the possibility for renegotiation.
Another way to reduce that risk as well, here's another option. And this is a pretty simple deal. I'll do all the mailing. I'll pay all the expenses. We'll take those expenses off the top of the gross, and then we'll split what's left. And in reality, that's going to come down to a safer deal for you. Sometimes you'll get more. Sometimes you'll get less. But it is safer for you to do that. And it's fair. It's very fair. Now, as long as you don't get crazy. Now, you don't charge them for gasoline and phone calls. No, it's just the expenses, the easy-to-prove expenses of doing the mailing. Just the mail expenses. These are expenses, not people taking the phone calls and all that crap.
Yeah.
Just the hard cost.
Yeah. And remember, what you want to do is when you do a joint venture with someone is you want to set up for more joint ventures with them. So you want to make sure that they're taken care of and you're taken care of. And if you take care of them, you're going to be a jewel in the sea of broken glass because most of their experience, if they've done joint ventures before, you're going to find people that have been scorched. And when you come in and you do what you're going to say, they're just, oh, we got to do a deal anytime. They write you a testimonial. Let me tell you how to create that. Number one, pay all joint ventures promptly and pay them with style. When Michael Kimball pays his joint venture partner, we just don't send him a check. He sends him a FedEx with a check on there with a letter. Congratulations, it just worked out great. It's absolutely wonderful. Here's your check. I hope you're as satisfied as I am. And he sends that to him, FedEx. A week later, what shows up? There's a company we do business with that bakes cookies as gifts. So they get a big box of cookies. We send them money and we send them food. There's a letter on it that says, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing this joint venture with us. Here's some food as appreciation. So they got money in their pocket to spend. They got food. And what happens is another overnight letter shows up a few days later that says, oh, hey, by the way, would you please write us a testimonial? So they've gotten money, they've gotten food, and now there's a letter asking for a testimonial from me that you can add to your free
Jeez,
money.
Jeez, I'm ready to do a joint venture, John.
It's a big inducement, but when you send them, I mean, nobody's ever done it. They've never had anybody do that before. When you do that, they love you, and they'll do deals over and over and over with you, and they know that you're taken care of and that the check clears.
Can we get cigars, too?
We haven't done that yet. Let's start talking about licensing. Very, 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 very important. Remember in the beginning of the talk what I told you about joint ventures and what I've talked about. It has to be a mutually beneficial relationship, meaning you have to have something to bring to the table. Okay? A tested proven ad, a tested proven sales letter, a tested proven product. And if you're starting out a lot of times, you may not have that. You may not have a track record, and it takes you 6, 12 weeks, even more, to test that. Okay? And like I said, that kind of, when you have to do that, that kind of deflates the spirit of joint ventures, which is making money with no work whatsoever. So, let's say you found a joint venture partner. He's got a good list, and you want to do a deal with him, but you don't have anything. You have nothing. But what you can do is you can license a sales letter. You can license a product. We do a lot of licensing deals. Most of the sales letters that we do, we don't create very many. We license them because we know that they already work. Okay, and all a license is, it's a piece of paper that says you have full rights to use this sales letter in any way that you you would like. Okay, it's like you have the sales letter yourself. Okay? And so that what you do is you now own the rights to this sales letter so that you can mail it and that you can use it and you can do joint ventures with it. That's very, very powerful. And what you're doing is that you're spending some dollars up front. There's usually a licensing fee that you will pay to acquire the rights to the sales letter. Paying a licensing fee to get a tested, proven sales letter to send to someone else's list to have a relationship with is very, very cheap. Because if you look at the time it'll take you to test and come up with a tested, proven sales letter, it could take months and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I paid $15,000 for a sales letter once that I know of, and I paid Dan Kennedy $8,500 for another sales letter, and they were absolutely unproven and untested. One that's already been proven. Believe me, that is a quantum leap.
I'll tell you a story about that. One of the people we do a lot of joint ventures with, what they did, they licensed a sales letter from us for $20,000, just paid Michael $20,000. They wound up, man, to their customer list, because they got a big fat customer list. They made $1.6 million off of that letter. And Michael knew going, he says, look, you know, you're going to make a lot of money with this. I mean, you're going to make a ton of money. You're going to make at least $1 million, because they knew the letter had already been tested and proven, and going to that hot list like that, they had a relationship. $1.6 million. I mean, that's a good deal. It's a good deal. And they knew before going in, before I even wrote that check, that money was going to come right back.
That's what they grossed, $1.6
million. $1.6
million. And I'll just tell them what it is. They were selling a $995 package.
Right.
Giving people the rights to resell 4 CD-ROMs.
Right.
And a marketing package to resell them with.
Right. And they just plugged that right into their list of names. Boom. Magic money where there was none before. You take a test approving sales letter, mail it to someone's list that they have a relationship with, and money. $1.6 million. Good God. Michael said next time I do a deal with him, I'm getting a piece of the action.
Don't take Mike long to learn, does it?
No. He still scratches his head over that one. Why you should license your products. If you guys, when you get to the point where you have a list of customers, where you have a sales letter that works to that list, you should license that letter. Reason is because if you want to build a huge company, a lot of times you got to get employees, you got to spend a lot of money on infrastructure, systems, and a lot of times I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to build a big business. I want to build a lifestyle business where we make high net, with little overhead, little hassles. We have a very small office, and we want to have a life to live so I can go have a lot of fun, too. I said, I don't like to work. And so a lot of times we won't go after lists because we know that in order to fund that program, We're going to have to bring in extra employees, more computers, all this stuff. We don't have anything to do with that. So what we do is that we license our letters. We license our products to other people that will go out and do it. So then we can get money. We can get an upfront licensing fee from those people. And we make money off of that where there was no money to be made because we're not interested in going off and doing all that other stuff. And those people wind up getting put into the mail order business because they get to leverage our resources of what we've done before with our knowledge, time, the tested, proven sales letters. So when you get into that position, you should license your products. We got a friend of ours in he's a niche marketer. He sells a lot to carpet cleaners, and he licenses his whole package for $35,000. It's a great deal because he's not interested in going to these other niches. I mean, he's got a life. He likes to do other things. But he gets money out of that where he wouldn't have gotten any before. And the licensee is then able to go in and basically step right into a tested, proven business and know they're going to make money. So you're shortcutting all the testing, all the business building, all that good stuff as a licensee. And as a licensor, like I said, you're getting money. You're getting a big, nice, fat licensing fee. Well, you wouldn't have gotten any before because you have a life you want to live and you want to go off and do other things, not have more employees. Very important. Again, just like why you should license your products, other people's products. Again, it cuts down on time. We license a lot of people's products because we have a list of customers that want to buy stuff. And so why we don't want to create products. That's work. We don't want to write sales letters. So we take someone else and we pay them a licensing fee and it goes right to our list. Also, one thing that a license can do is if you're getting started in this business, cut your risk way, 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 way down. The probability of you writing a sales letter and building a business on the first time out is very, very slim. That's the first time. Can you do it? Sure you can do it. There's a lot of people that have started with $200 and built a very successful mail order business from the kitchen table. But if you look at the money that they spent testing and reinventing and going all over that, it was self-financing, but they may have spent $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 to get to the point where they had a bunch of products, where they had a bunch of tested, proven sales letters, and they had something that they knew worked. Again, you can shortcut that by just stepping right in and acquiring a license. And the neat thing that does is you should create your own products, you should write your own ads and sales letters eventually, but when you're doing that to your own customer, you have a relationship with someone else as a master copywriter's letter is brought in, you got a good chance of being successful.
Yeah, it's my contention. You can write your own sales letters and develop your own products after you got a cash flow coming in.
That's
you can take the pressure off of and have plenty of time to do that without being under the gun all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you were right. Your chances of succeeding, sitting down and writing your first sales letter, are about as good as me losing 20 pounds in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm on the Atkins diet.
You can come to the gym with me.
It's still ain't gonna happen.
I'll make that a reality. You come to the gym with me. But no, Ron.
I'd rather buy the report.
We'll put you on the video. Ron's absolutely right. I mean, even you look at the master copywriter, Ted Nicholas. He said that every time he wrote an ad, he wrote 120 ads for his book, How You Can Form Your Own Corporation Without a Lawyer for Under $75. Ted's a master copywriter. How many of those ads were successful out of 120? 40. 40 were. And he wrote 120 ads. But the ones that were successful were very successful. So that he was able to go out, and then if you license an ad like that you can step right in and start making money immediately because you know it's been tested, you know it's been proven. It doesn't make sense not to license. It cuts your risk way, way down. It cuts your time factor way, way down. It gives you time, and it gives you leverage. Licensing. We license. We're licensees and licensors. Licensing overcomes joint venture obstacles, like I said in the very beginning. You can approach someone and talk to them so that now you have a tested, proven product. Now you have a track record of someone that you've licensed from, and you have a tested, proven sales letter. So all of a sudden, when you get into this joint venture deal, you have pull with these people. You can sit down and say, okay, here's why I collect the money and send you 20%, because I have the key now that unlocks your list. And you can do that with a phone call, getting those products and then getting in. So what it comes down to is really licensing and joint ventures is the best way to make money with absolutely no work whatsoever. Tell you a few concerns about licensing that you might want to keep in mind when looking at getting a license. If you're looking at a hard product, like a business where it's a commodity and it's territorial, then you want to make sure there's no competition. That doesn't quite happen in direct response. And the reason is because if you're managing your own customer list or somebody else's, that even if there's other people out there that own the licensing rights to that letter, there's no way they can touch that customer list because you're writing on the relationship. So if I were to take that same letter and mail it to that same list, and the same person, the recipient, on the same day got a letter from your joint venture partner with their endorsement on it, they're going to order from that person because they have a relationship. So there's really very little concern about, you know, if everyone here was to license the same letter and go out about stepping on each other's toes. The market's too big and the relationships that you step into are too powerful for that to happen. Okay? Keep that in mind. Also, one thing you want to be very careful of, stealing customers. There may be some people out there who you could do a licensing deal with, and their whole idea is to get you to go through them so that you pay for everything, and they get the customer. And they start marketing to the customer, and they cut off your back end. You want to make sure that any licensing deal that you step into, you are in full control of that customer. Because remember, like we said, the customer list and the relationship with that customer list is the key that unlocks all the wealth in this business. Very, very powerful. Again, an upfront investment. A lot of times, you know, like we got our friend, $35,000. That's a big investment. Is it a big investment? It's a small investment when you look at it. How much time, money, energy, and effort are you going to have to spend to get up to that point to where he is? It took him years to get there. You spend $35,000, you're there immediately. You know, is it something to think about? Sure. But when you put that up against the upfront cost of building it and doing it all yourself, it's a very, very, very small amount of money. Okay? But it's something that you should keep in mind.
Like buying a McDonald's instead of opening my own hamburger store, isn't it?
Exactly. Do you spend the $400,000 to get the McDonald's, or do you go open your own hamburger store, which is tested proven? You know, at least 80% of those go out of business within 4 or 5 years. Where with McDonald's, I've seen one McDonald's in my lifetime that's gone out of business. And why that happened, I don't know. So what you're doing is that you're investing in a tested proven track record for the long term. So really, if you have a good license that you're looking at, you know that paying that upfront fee is a good, good deal. Okay, saves you a lot of time, frustration, energy, effort, and you get the inside stuff. Okay? Like I said, benefits again, just want to go over that. You get the time. A lot of times the infrastructure is already built. You get on somebody's brand. That's very powerful. If someone's known in the marketplace and you're selling their products with their identity on it, people feel they have a relationship with this person. So that what you're able to do is that brand increases response because they feel like you've already tested them. Okay? Very, very powerful. They feel like they know them. Again, tested proven ads, sales letters, websites. That's something that's important. A tested proven website. A lot of people out there selling websites. A lot of people out there selling websites. The website may not work. It may not sell. But all people love to sell websites. And the web has made a lot of people stupid nowadays. Oh, a website going to make money. No. But if you license one that you know works, both from a marketing point of view and from a technical point of view, that can be very powerful. Product support. Inside information. Let's say, for example, that you want to license a sales letter. But the guy's mailed the sales letter, he has a lot of experience. And he knows that sales letter sells real well to one-legged used car salesman. But it doesn't sell well to two-legged new car salesman. You think you might want that information? Sure, absolutely. And how long testing would it take you to find that out? How much money? A long time and a lot of money. So that inside information, very, very powerful. Very powerful.
I want to thank you for listening. This is Michael Sinoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. If you want to get in touch with any of the people we interview, please email me at Michael@HardToFindSeminars.com. That's Michael@HardToFindSeminars.com. H-A-R-D as in dog, T-O-F-I-N-D-S-E-M-I-N-A-R-S.com.